This show is not a substitute for professional counseling. The views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Further, any opinions heard on the show are not meant to replace professional healthcare and mental health treatment. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you are in need of professional help and are a UA student, you are encouraged to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
It's 6 o'clock and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting live from the WVUA FM studio, 90.7, the Capstone, on the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. My name is Dr. BJ Gunther, and I'm the host of the show. And in case you don't know, this show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, in particular UA students. As you can tell probably from my voice, I've been a little under the weather, so you'll have to excuse my hoarseness, but this is way better than last week because I didn't have a voice at all. So you can listen to us live each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM or online at wvuafm.ua.edu, or you can also download the Crimson White app and click on the 90.7 live streaming link. And for the first time ever, we're going to a live call-in format. So I'm asking listeners to call into the studio tonight with questions for my guests. The number to call our studio is 205-348-9070. That's 348-9070. I'll try to remember to give this phone number out very often, and especially during breaks, so that if listeners want to call in and ask my guests questions, they're welcome to do so. And as always, you can also email us questions. And the email address is brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. So if you have questions, we'll be taking those also. As usual, if you have any upcoming show ideas, you can email those to me. And, of course, I'll consider using your idea for a show topic. Tonight's topic is a show that I've been planning for quite some time. I really wanted to have Dr. Adderholt on the show last spring, and something happened, I can't remember, and we just had to reschedule. But the topic of the show tonight is perfectionism. So many of the students I see at the Counseling Center come in and they talk about perfectionism. They admit they're perfectionists, and it gets in the way of a lot of issues in their life and affects their life. So my guest tonight is Dr. Miriam Adderholt, and Dr. Adderholt is an expert in gifted education and the topic of perfectionism. Her book, Perfectionism Versus the Pursuit of Excellence, is a wonderful guide on the various aspects of being a perfectionist and how perfectionism can affect a person. Dr. Adderholt is not only a writer, but also a professor and a public speaker. Dr. Adderholt, are you on the line? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry about my voice, so hopefully we'll make it through the hour. Thanks for being on the show tonight.
You're welcome.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your credentials, and how you got interested in the topic of perfectionism?
Well, my undergrad degree is from Lenoir Rhine College in Hickory, North Carolina. And I majored in intermediate education, and I got interested in gifted education during my student teaching. Then I went on to graduate school and studied education of the hearing impaired and education of the gifted and talented. When I was in my master's program, I started looking at the topic of perfectionism and how it affects gifted children. And my master's is, I have some training from UT Knoxville, and then my master's degree is from the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. I taught for a couple of years in gifted programs, and I found that perfectionism was one of the traits that really affects gifted students.
Would you say...
back for my doctorate at the University of Georgia in Athens.
Okay.
And decided to work on a dissertation on the topic of perfectionism. So I studied there at UGA and completed my doctorate under Dr. E. Paul Torrance, and a number of other well-known professors. Then I taught at three different universities and several school systems and some community colleges. So I started writing on perfectionism with my dissertation.
Okay.
That I defended in 1984, and I've been working on that topic ever since. And this book that you have is my most recent, which was published in 2016.
Yes.
By Nathan Levy Books in Monroe Township, New Jersey. It was co-authored with myself, Dr. Donna Johnson, and Nathan Levy.
And we're gonna reference your book throughout the show because it's fantastic. It's a great handbook for both therapists and persons who feel like they are perfectionists. My question is, one of my first questions, though, you mentioned gifted individuals. Would you say that most gifted individuals are perfectionist?
Well, not all of them.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things we know is that a gifted individual might do really well in school, and then suddenly something that might happen, they might be at a smaller school, then they go to a larger school like the University of Alabama or the University of Georgia.
Right.
And maybe they've been used to being number one in their class.
Yep.
And suddenly they're put together with a lot of honor students.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
So they have to get used to, maybe they've been valedictorian or salutatorian. Then they have to get used to being among lots of people that are very, very bright.
Yes.
So it's a learning experience.
You know, you sent me this book back in the spring, and it is, I love this book. I have other individuals who send me books to review, and your book, it was very easy to read. It was very practical. It's not a long book, but it's exactly what we discuss at the counseling center all the time about how to help perfectionists, because it really gets in the way of some of these students. And one way that I've noticed, and I want to ask you this, what is perfectionism, and is it different from the pursuit of excellence, which is the title of your book?
Well, perfectionism is actually the unnecessary striving that can lead to an unhealthy mindset.
Okay.
And then I contrast that to the healthy pursuit of excellence. So I've actually gone over examples in the book of how perfectionism is actually going too far. And then I contrast that with the healthy pursuit of excellence.
Yeah,
and
you
we decided that would be a really good title.
Yeah, you sent me basically a list of the difference between perfectionism and healthy pursuit of excellence. Can you hear me?
If you can speak a little bit louder.
Okay. Yeah, you sent me some worksheets, and one of them was the differences between perfectionism and healthy pursuit of excellence. And it's very interesting because on one side, the perfectionists, for instance, reach for impossible goals, whereas the pursuers of excellence enjoy meeting high standards that are within their reach. And that's just one example. I mean, we could go through the whole list. It's so interesting to me because one of the big ones is perfectionists really hate criticism, but pursuers of excellence welcome criticism.
Right. Pursuers of excellence welcome criticism because they learn from it.
Exactly.
But the perfectionist is going to get very upset because they see that as a personal flaw.
Yes, or an attack, I guess an attack on them. They take it personally, yeah.
Right, a perfectionist might get depressed and give up, but a pursuer of excellence may experience disappointment, but they have the guts to keep going.
Right, right, and figure out what they're doing wrong.
Right. A perfectionist may be devastated by failure. A pursuer of excellence may actually learn from failure and say, these are some of my mistakes, but I have the guts to keep going.
For the listeners out there, if you have a question for Dr. Aderholt, I'm sure she would welcome those questions. This is the first night that we are taking call-ins. So if you have a question, you can call into the station here, and we will put you on the air with Dr. Aderholt. Our number here is 205-348-9070. And Dr. Aderholt, your book, it's entitled, I'm going to read the title again, Perfectionism Versus the Pursuit of Excellence. You have a chapter in the book called The Games Perfectionist Play. What do you mean, and what are some of these games?
Well, there are actually several games. These are mind games,
mm-hmm.
or thinking patterns that perfectionists play.
Yeah.
And I covered them on page 27, 28, 29, and 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go over just quickly those mind games. The first one on page 27 is the mood roller coaster.
Uh-huh.
You do something really well, and you feel great, and then you don't do something well, and you get down in the dumps.
Right.
Or the numbers game, the quantity of achievement becomes more important than the quality. You might actually start counting how many awards, how many trophies, that sort of thing, instead of the quality.
Right, right. And I have seen that many, many times, the numbers game. Yeah, this is common.
Also, another one's focusing on the future instead of actually being able to feel good about what you do today. Looking so much at the future. Maybe someone won a contest, a state contest, but they're very sad they haven't won the national contest.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then over on the next page, we have pining over the past on page 28, worrying about the past. Instead of being able to feel good about what they've done. Also on 28, we have something called telescopic thinking. And this is using a telescope to look at your goals.
Okay, what does that mean?
That means you might magnify some things that you haven't been able to do. And then you minify things that you've already achieved.
Yes.
So that's called telescopic microscopic thinking.
Huh, okay.
And then over on 29, putting goals first over other things in life. And then also on 29, having to get things right. And then at the bottom of the page, we have all or nothing thinking.
Yeah, and it's either black or white. Mm-hmm.
Black or white.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's called dualistic thinking.
Wow.
And these are some of the mind games that perfectionists play. And again, we want to work for a healthy pursuit of excellence instead of the striving for perfectionism.
Well, some of the students I see here at UA, they'll come in and they won't identify that they are a perfectionist, but I see it pretty quickly, and I'll ask them, do they think they're a perfectionist? And they will resistantly say they are, like it's a negative thing. Is perfectionism always negative, or can it be positive?
I think it's a thing to work on.
Uh-huh.
And you also have to learn to admit. You have to admit that you're perfectionistic.
Okay.
And work on changing that to the healthy pursuit of excellence.
Mm-hmm.
So that's hard to do. The first time I ever read an article on perfectionism was about 1980. And it was an article by a counselor who's done a lot of work, a psychiatrist, Dr. David Burns.
Uh-huh.
And I read the first article in 1980. And I really didn't want to admit that I had perfectionistic tendencies. But then as I kept reading and studying, then I learned that it's important to try to deal with it and switch as much as you can to what's called the healthy pursuit of excellence.
So you could relate to that. You could understand that.
Right.
What about, I have had students come in before with writer's block. How is writer's block connected to perfectionism? Is there a connection?
Oh, yes, there's a huge connection. There's a huge connection. I used to teach at UNC Charlotte, and they carried one of my books on perfectionism. And they actually, in the bookstore, put it in the writing section.
Wow, yeah.
And the reason they put it in the writing section is so many people that are writing get writer's block because they want to do something too large.
Yes.
And what you have to do when you write is divide things into small parts. Like if you're working on a dissertation, of course you have to divide it into the five chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And then reward yourself each time that you work on a section of the dissertation.
Uh-huh.
So that's actually called the Swiss cheese method because you're supposed to punch holes in such a large project.
Okay.
Divide it into very small parts.
Right.
Just like you would punch holes in Swiss cheese.
Yeah. It's very hard, though, I will admit, it's very hard to convince an individual to compromise or to let go even a little, because that individual who has those perfectionistic tendencies sees it as a failure if they do that.
Right.
So, part of my job as a counselor sometimes is to convince that person that there has to be some sort of compromise. Your argument of the pursuit of excellence would be something that I could actually use in a counseling session with someone, I would think.
Right.
Is there a connection between procrastination and perfectionism? I mean, kind of the writer's block is a form of procrastination, obviously. But let's say we don't have a writer, but it's another major or whatever, and the person is procrastinating because they don't feel like they're ever going to get it right, so they just never finish the project ever.
Okay, the correlation there, the procrastinator keeps putting things off because he or she says, if I keep putting things off, I will have an insurance policy that it's not perfect.
Oh, okay. I've
so
never thought about that.
And you see this a lot in writing a paper. A perfectionist might wait till the night before.
Exactly.
And then they'll work on it the night before. And they'll say, if I had more time, it would have been much better.
So they don't feel so bad.
Right. They don't feel so bad. That's actually their insurance.
Is that not another one of those mind games?
Yes, I think that's a mind game.
Yeah, I do too. Let us stop right now, Dr. Adderholt, and take a break really quickly. And then when we come back, I want to talk to you about, is there a danger in someone being a perfectionist? So
okay.
we'll pick up with that question when we come back. If you want to call into the station and ask a question to Dr. Adderholt or myself, the number here is 205-348-9070. Or you can email us a question at brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, you're back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm BJ Gunther, and tonight we're talking about perfectionism. My guest is Dr. Miriam Adderholt, and if you have a question for Dr. Adderholt or myself, call into the station right now, and we'll put you through. It's 205-348-9070. Dr. Adderholt, I found an article where you're actually quoted, and it's from Psychology Today. The title of the article is Pitfalls of Perfectionism, and I want to read you something and get your comment on this. It had a lot of good insight with regards to where perfectionism may come from, and that it's more modeled than necessarily you're born with. But one of the statements says, perfectionism is an endless report card. It keeps people completely self-absorbed, engaged in perpetual self-evaluation, reaping relentless frustration, and doomed to anxiety. That sounds pretty harsh, but it does sound pretty accurate. Do you agree?
Yes. One of the statements I've seen about perfectionism is that when the perfectionist gets up in the morning, he or she starts evaluating themselves like a report card.
Yes.
As soon as their feet touch the floor and they get out of bed, they start evaluating themselves.
Wow.
So it can actually be a really heavy burden to live with.
Yeah, and it almost sounds akin to obsessive-compulsive type thinking, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I think there's quite an overlap with obsessive compulsive.
Do you think perfectionism runs in families?
Yes, I do. And we don't know how much is genetic, and we don't know how much is learned behavior.
Right, right.
But one of the things you can do is look at the birth order literature, and we know that there are more firstborn perfectionists. So, again, that's one of the things I talk about in the book, is that firstborn children are around adults much more.
Uh-huh.
And so they start evaluating themselves. Even when they're very tiny children, they might start evaluating themselves by the way their parents act.
I would think that would be true for only children also.
Right.
Yeah. What about, before we went to the break, I wanted to talk to you about, is there a danger in being a perfectionist? Is there?
Well, I have a section in the book on eating disorders. And if you want to take some time to read that, the section on eating disorders is page 48, 49, 50, 51.
Wow.
I have a section on anorexia, bulimia, compulsive eaters. And these are some of the things that people can get into because of the perfectionism. I also have a section on some of the problems that figure skaters might get into, or some of the problems gymnasts might get into.
Uh-huh.
And I was a competitive baton twirler myself in high school and college. And so I really saw that you could get into what's called appearance perfectionism.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I happened to Tuscaloosa before when I was in high school, and it was for a baton contest.
Yeah.
So I was able to visit that area and the university.
This almost sounds like one of my first guests, one of my first shows this semester was about athletes, male athletes, or just males in general who have an eating disorder. And I actually had one of our baseball players on who has struggled with anorexia. And This appearance perfectionism is one of the things we talked about, and it sounded just like what he had gone through when he was a little bit younger. But the research I read on it, it has to do with more of those sports. It's really kind of unusual with like football, basketball, or baseball, but it's like you described, it's with more of the sports who focus more on performance with regard to weight and speed, like track and field, gymnastics, like you said. I think we mentioned even swimming.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And definitely the majorettes. Definitely right. The majorettes. I can remember a majorette who I saw years ago at the university who talked about the struggles that she has with that sort of appearance perfectionism like you're talking about.
Right. Also, when I was very young, I was in the Miss North Carolina pageant as well. So I saw a lot of people in pageants who really struggled with the appearance perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you know, we're looking at trying to strive for the healthy pursuit of excellence.
Yes, yes.
But sometimes it can go overboard into full-blown perfectionism.
Have the individuals you have worked with on this perfectionism versus pursuit of excellence, do they accept, I don't know how to ask this, do they accept the use of the word excellence?
That's the word that I found that I can deal with better.
Right.
And the reason I found this word, I started going through the literature, especially when I was working on my dissertation, and I tried to find terms that I could understand.
Yes, yes.
And I kept finding literature in psychology journals and psychiatry journals, both, that separated those two, perfectionism and healthy pursuit of excellence. I had to find terms that I could understand and terms that I could use in my dissertation.
That's right, and terms that you could accept.
Right.
You know, as a perfectionist yourself.
Yes.
Are there different types of perfectionism?
Well, in the book, I talk about some of the differences of apparent perfectionism.
Okay.
Relationship perfectionism, performance perfectionism, and moral perfectionism. Those are on page 54.
Ooh, what is relationship perfectionism?
Okay, that is wanting other people to follow through with what you feel is really important.
Can you give an example?
It actually affects your relationship.
Uh-huh.
Because you might demand too much from other people.
Oh, yeah.
Or your standards may be so high that other people cannot live up to your standards.
That's right. They can never meet those standards. They must get frustrated. I mean, I would think somebody who has a relationship-type perfectionism would not have many friends, or they would run them off.
Well, they might.
Yeah.
They might.
Yeah. How about the moral type? Because this sounds a little bit like a form of obsessive compulsive disorder called scrupulosity.
Well, one of the things with moral, they might judge themselves or they might judge other people too harshly.
Okay.
But they might be very, very judgmental.
Okay. And then we talked about appearance,
That. They may endlessly fret about their image.
Mm-hmm.
That can show up in weight. It can show up in excessive matching, needing to match things way too much.
Yes.
Clothes way too much.
Wow.
And then performance. They may actually overwork but underproduce.
Would athletes fall in this category, too?
Yes, they might fall in that category, performance perfectionism, maybe overworking but underproducing.
Wow.
One of the things we know about perfectionism, too, it can decrease risk-taking behavior. And there sometimes a perfectionist just has to take risks. But it's one of the things that can actually decrease risk-taking.
Yeah, that article that I mentioned that you were quoted in, The Pitfalls of Perfectionism from Psychology Today, there was something in that article about one aspect of perfectionism is that it leads people to conceal their mistakes, and it almost sounds like what you're talking about, because they don't get the crucial feedback that they need, so they don't, like you said, they don't take any risks because they don't want to be criticized, or they don't want to seem that they're making any mistakes.
Right.
Is that what you mean, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, they may have been brought up to not actually learn from their mistakes.
How so? What do you mean? Because that sounds like a lot of people in this generation.
One of the things that I put in the book are actually mistakes that were actually turned into positive learning paths.
Okay.
And that's pages 100 and 101.
Okay.
And these are actually inventions that started out as a mistake, and then it turned into a scientific invention.
Wow! So give us an example of one.
Get the programs. I've actually used several books working with really bright students. One is called Mistakes Are Great.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a book about scientific inventions that came about as a result of mistakes. And that was something that's very hard. For a while, it was very hard for me to understand that so many of our scientific inventions started out as mistakes. So there is actually an author, if I sent you a list of children's books.
You did?
I think it is number 10 on the list of children's books by a lady named Charlotte Jones, Mistakes That Worked. And it's a book that tells about 40 inventions that were invented or named by accident. And these included aspirin, x-rays, frisbees, silly putty, potato chips, trouser cuffs, and Velcro.
Wow, silly putty and potato chips. Can you imagine a world without those?
Right.
No. That's
and then
cool.
Charlotte Jones continued that book in 1988, and she wrote, again, about accidents that may happen. These are 50 new inventions that were discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a continuation of the first book.
Right, right. And two, another thing that I read when I was doing research for the show is that, you know, perfectionism can really affect creativity because it lowers the ability to take risks, like you say, and it reduces creativity and innovation, exactly what's not adaptive, you know, in today's global marketplace. So if I could get some of the students I work with to maybe understand that, it might open their mind a little bit about pursuing excellence as opposed to perfectionism.
Right.
Because you're never going to reach that.
Dr. Mary Fraser,
yeah,
at the University of Georgia, said you just have to throw ideas out there. Not everybody is going to like your ideas.
True.
But you just have to throw these ideas out there. So she kept teaching us that concept over and over.
How does perfectionism affect your body? That's one of your chapters in here, that it affects your body. Besides the eating disorders that you mentioned, are there other ways that perfectionism does affect your body?
Well, actually, the stress. There are articles about stress-related illnesses.
Uh-huh.
And headaches in particular, and other stress-related illnesses.
What about?
There is an article that I read one time, and it was just a whole list of stress-related illnesses that can be related to perfectionism.
Because of the stress of trying to constantly maintain such high standards.
Right.
Are introverts prone to perfectionism?
Well, I'm not sure if introverts versus extroverts are more prone, because it affects many, many people. But one of the things we know is that perfectionists are often painstaking workers.
Yeah. They just
and like we
can't
talked
let
about
go.
Before, they may it may really cut down on the risk taking that is necessary for novel ideas and for creativity.
So, do you have any tips for the students who may be listening, or we're also recording this show and we'll put it on our website? Do you have any tips for students of what to do about their perfectionism?
Well, one of the things that I think is important is to try new areas. Try something you've never done before.
Okay.
And try not to constantly grade yourself. Another section I have is called bibliotherapy. And that's on pages 120, 121, 122, 123. And that's when you read children's books and the major character in the book is a perfectionist. And then you try to identify with that major character and look at how did the major character in the book deal with his or her perfectionism. And then try to apply that to your own life.
What about coming up with a plan? I think I saw in here planning positive alternative paths.
Right.
And that was in, you know, setting reasonable standards for yourself. Ways to gain control over your life. Tried and true ways to get things done. And you've got a list. One of them is compile a bibliography of resources on your topic, choose your focus, and I guess this is talking about what you mentioned a minute ago when you have a big project due, how to break it down.
Right.
But what's some ideas for planning positive alternative paths?
Well, it's actually really hard.
I think so, yeah.
To look at how the mistakes in some way have helped us in life. So I have a section on 145 that talks about failure plus flexibility equals fantastic. And this is about the combination of these two things.
Right.
Failure and flexibility. How these two together seem to yield the most fantastic results when human achievement is concerned.
Yeah. I think flexibility is the most important thing you could probably teach or try to work on with somebody who's perfectionist, you know. One of the things I want to touch on before we take another break, and maybe we'll talk about it, maybe we'll go ahead and take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about, you have a section in the book that talks about perfectionism and suicide. And I want to find out why you included that in the book. So let's take another quick break and we'll come back and talk about that. If you're listening and you want to call in and talk to Dr. Adderholt, the station number is 205-348-9070. Don't be shy. I'm sure she'd be happy to take your call. And we're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, you're back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. We're talking about perfectionism tonight. My guest is Dr. Miriam Adderholt. Her book, Perfectionism Versus the Pursuit of Excellence, What Can Be Bad About Being Too Good, is an excellent resource for anyone struggling with perfectionism. It's wonderful. And Dr. Adderholt, I was looking through the book right now because one of the things I love in the book is the perfectionist the perfectionism scale. It's only 10 questions, but if you're wondering whether or not you are a perfectionist, this is a great way to kind of give you a heads up. Like I said, there's only 10 questions. You can score it on your own, and it's Dr. Burns' perfectionism scale is what it's called.
Right, Dr. David Burns.
Yeah.
And that was actually one of the first things I ever read about perfectionism. I saw his scale in 1980.
It's excellent.
And I've actually been using that scale. I called him on the phone and got permission.
Right.
And I've been using that scale ever since because I think it's such a valuable scale.
It is. It's very telling, even though the questions or the statements are short. And, you know, there's only 10 of them, but it's very telling. For instance, one of them is, I should be upset if I make a mistake. And, you know, the answers will be strongly agree, agree somewhat, disagree somewhat, or strongly disagree. And the answers are assigned a number value. And that's how you add up and score your score. That's how you interpret your score on the perfectionism scale. Let me get back to what I wanted to ask you before we close the show, because I think this is important. One of the issues you discuss in the book is perfectionism and suicide. Why did you include this in the book?
Well, I wanted to include it in the book because I had found quite a bit of information. Like I said, when I was doing research, I looked at psychology journals and psychiatry journals also.
Uh-huh.
Then I wanted to make sure I had suicide hotlines published in the back of the book.
Yes.
And where people could get help.
Okay.
And I also wanted to look at 10 famous people who made big mistakes. Or 10 people who made it big despite a rocky start.
Okay.
Like famous failures.
Yeah.
One of the things that we've covered on page 145, Billy Joel, the songwriter, at one time was thinking about suicide.
Mm.
And so he wrote the song, You're Only Human.
Oh, yeah.
He made it into a record, and he donated the money from the sales of the record to the National Center on Youth Suicide Prevention.
Wow.
So actually, I wanted to include this section in the back as a form of suicide prevention.
Yes, because I don't know if there's statistics on this, if you even know the statistics of the number of people who have identified themselves as perfectionists who have also attempted suicide or completed suicide. I don't know if there's any way to really know that.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Mm-mm. If we have on that.
I would think that could possibly be a trait, though, because of what we've just been discussing about perfectionism and those individuals who struggle to have such high standards and you really never can meet those standards.
Right. One of the things on 145,
uh-huh,
we have a section, you could actually have it all. You could have fame, you could have money, you could have success, you could have all these things. And that's actually why I, and still, get very, very depressed.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I included that section about Billy Joel and how he donated the proceeds from that song to the National Center on Youth Suicide Prevention. So I think that's a really important area there.
And a good example, too.
Right.
The first chapter in the book also discusses why people become perfectionists. Why do they?
Well, there are many different ways I've included a lot of information about firstborn children, birth order.
Right.
And if you turn to page 16 of the book, you can look at some of the positive things about firstborn children, but yet they're seen for counseling more so than any other birth order position. So one of the things that we look at, especially in the field of gifted and talented, you know, the term delights and dilemmas.
Okay.
Some things are very, very delightful, but yet they're dilemmas also.
Yeah.
And I think, as I see it, I'm a firstborn child.
Uh-huh.
And I can see in some ways it's very delightful that I identified with both of my parents and both of their occupations at a very young age.
Hmm.
But yet it can also be a dilemma as well to put that much stress on yourself.
Yeah.
At a very young age.
Exactly.
I think the term delights and dilemmas is a good term to look at.
It's good because it's like a catch 22 almost.
Right.
Does perfectionism look different in women and men, males and females?
Well, I have actually included a whole chapter on women.
Huh, okay.
And the reason I put the chapter on women is a woman might actually feel that she wants to be perfect at work and perfect at home in the same way.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of stressors that way. So I've actually included a section. I think one of the chapters is called Perfectionism in Young Women and Young Men.
Yes.
And it...
And you talk about for girls, from super kid to super woman.
Right.
And for boys, from super kid to superman. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a quote from Dr. Maya Angelou that we put in this book. It's on page 92.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Maya Angelou used a number of quotes when explaining how to overcome failure and defeat. One of these quotes is as follows. You may encounter many defeats, but you must not be defeated. In fact, it may be necessary to encounter the defeat so you can know who you are, what you can rise from, how you can still come out of it.
Yeah.
And when we were working on this edition of the book, Dr. Maya Angelou passed away.
Oh, okay.
In Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Huh.
So we wanted to use this quote,
yeah,
because we knew that she was actually a political activist and a writer, and she'd done many, many things.
Mm-hmm.
And then we thought the quote fit in with the book, and also the fact that she passed away while we were working on the book.
Right, right. I think, though, my personal favorite quote in the book is from Lucille Ball. Knowing what you cannot do is more important than knowing what you can do. It's simple and to the point, you know? There's some great quotes in this book, though. This book is so useful, and I really appreciate you sending this to me. This is a gift. And I've even already had one of my coworkers want to borrow this book after the show tonight to use with some of her students. So I appreciate that so much. And thanks again, Dr. Adderholt, for being on the show. This was a delight, and I apologize for my scratchy voice.
That's fine.
It's much better than it was last week. So this is an improvement. I actually had no voice on Friday, so this is much better. But do you have a website that you can give the listeners?
Actually, I can be contacted, Adderholt Miriam at gmail.com.
If anybody has any questions, that's Adderholt, Adderholt, Miriam, Miriam. That's correct, right?
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm gonna sign off right now because I have a few things that I would like to read before we close. I want to remind the viewers that our shows are recorded and podcasted on the audioboom.com website. Just type in Brain Matters and you'll find some past shows. There's also a link to Audio Boom on the Counseling Center's website at counseling.ua.edu. And I always like to thank a few people before we close the show out. As always, I want to thank Dr. Lee Keyes. He's our Executive Director of the Counseling Center. Terry Siggers of the Office of Student Media. My production assistants tonight, Catherine Howell, Caroline Harris, and Lizzie Zeman. And my colleagues at the Counseling Center, the WVUA staff, and of course my guest tonight, Dr. Miriam Adderholt. Our show next week will feature, I'm really excited about this show because I use apps on my phone all the time, and I recommend apps to students many times, and the show will actually be on the use of mental health applications for your phone. So I think that should be a great show. I want to thank everyone for listening tonight to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. Don't forget, Houndstooth and Hard Hats is up next. Good night.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions,